Thank God. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't the Lord wonderful? Hallelujah. Why don't we praise the Lord together? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We praise you, Lord. Jesus' name. I must say I'm deeply moved by this service. Sister Joy Haney spoke about Brother Rohde. It brought back so many wonderful memories and touched my heart because I knew him and I knew every word she said was true. And more. Amen. I might just say this by way of introduction that, as Brother Keyes mentioned, I stayed in Brother Rohde's home in Lodi before ever they came to Modesto. This was in the year 1937. 19-year-old evangelist. Kid. Second revival in Lodi. First one was in Stockton with Brother Van Buskirk. Then we went to Lodi and they put me up, put Sister Gray and I up. We're just married. And we just started right out on a $35 car that we bought. Paid cash for it too. Hallelujah. Didn't have to ask the pastor to help me with some money to pay time payments. We just went paid as we had the money. But we were asked to stay in Brother Rohde's home. And as I went in that home, my memory is that it was a godly home. And he was not a preacher in those days. He was a groceryman. He had a grocery store. He and his brother. And he was a hard worker. And we loved him and appreciated him and his wife so very much. And in the 2 weeks, I suppose, we were there. I don't know whether it was 2 weeks or 3 weeks in those days. I didn't keep a diary. I should have. Wish I had now. But as time went on, our paths crossed numerous times. And in 1940 it was, we took the church in Turlock and pastored the church in Turlock. And in those days, Turlock was almost the largest church in California. Almost. But Modesto passed us by. Not that year, though. Brother Rohde came in 1941 to Modesto and started the church here. And we left Turlock in 1943. Our church was still larger. But it didn't take long for God to work in Modesto in a wonderful way. As time went on, this church grew and grew and grew. Ministry of Brother Rohde became very rich and productive as time went on. Man, as Sister Joy said, you could set your watch by him. Every morning at the same time, he had prayer. He knew exactly how to ration out his time to make the most out of it. Some of us don't know how to do that. He knew how. And God used him. And the church here today is a mighty memorial to the consecration, dedication of this man, J.E. Rohde. Amen. So we thank God for it, and he pastored here until 1971, I believe, and Brother Dansby became pastor. And in 1976, standing behind the pulpit, the Lord took Brother Rohde home with him. I can't think of a better way to go. Amen. When my time comes, I hope I'm in the harness. I hope that I'll still be preaching. I hope the presence of God will be right there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, memory's a wonderful thing, folks. But I think it's good to pause once in a while and look back. Nothing wrong with it. Just so don't live back there. Hallelujah. It's good to look back there and see how great God has been and what He's done. Some of the great men that God has allowed you to know. And Brother Rohde had a tremendous impact on this district, on hundreds of young men. Browning said, I am a part of all whom I have met. And some of you owe your very life to Brother Rohde and Sister Rohde and their ministry here in the city of Modesto. They poured their lives out for you. Amen. We thank God for it. Would you like to turn with me to Ezekiel? And while you're turning to Ezekiel chapter 9, let me just say we honor Brother Dansby, the succeeding pastor to Brother Rohde, who's here with us tonight. You'll be hearing more about him tomorrow night. And we honor your present pastor, Brother Randy Keyes, a man of God, a man who has led this church into unprecedented heights, and we're believing God for greater things yet under the leadership of Brother Keyes. We honor him. Thank God for him. Amen. And I want to say how much I appreciate the fact that I'm honored tonight to be asked to speak at this very special memorial service for Brother Rohde and Sister Rohde. And we're delighted to do that and to lend what we can to this great occasion for the church in Modesto. Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Now we're going to stop there and speak to you from these verses and the context of them on the subject of the man in charge. God said, let the men that have charge over the city come forward. Let's see who they are that is in charge. The devil thinks he's in charge. He'd like us to believe he's in charge. Sometimes it looks like he's in charge. Isn't that right? But don't ever forget, God's running this thing. He's in charge. And He puts whom He will in charge. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And He always has a man that He puts in charge. Praise God. And J.E. Rohde was one of those men that was put in charge of a city. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank You for this night, this special occasion. We thank You for the memory of a man of God who dared to believe You, gave himself wholly to You, was totally dedicated unto the Lord. We thank You for his wife that stood at his side faithfully. We thank You for the memories, Lord, of this great man in this city that You placed here to establish a work for the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for what You've done. And we thank You for this gathering tonight. Believe, Lord, that as we open Your Word, You would talk to us who are still in the land of the living, still must make it in. Hallelujah. That today, in 1991, Your presence would go with us and before us. Hallelujah. That we might together meet with those who have gone before, in that wonderful time when You come again. Receive your own unto yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Touch us, Lord. Give us just the touch we need by your Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Ezekiel was taken captive into Babylon in the year 597 B.C. That was 9 years after the first dispersion when Daniel was taken. Daniel was taken into the city of Babylon, whereas Ezekiel was taken 9 years later into captivity, and he was taken about 150 or 200 miles northwest of Babylon to the river Kebar. And there he and the others that were taken into captivity from Jerusalem were set down by the river Kebar in captivity, away from home, away from church, away from parents, away from pastor, away from their homeland in a strange country. Now, the river Kebar flows into the Euphrates River. And Ezekiel was a man that God's hand was on, and he prophesied. But the amazing thing about Ezekiel was, and there are several amazing things about him, but the amazing thing about Ezekiel was that he did not primarily prophesy to the captives in captivity. But he was a prophet of God who prophesied relative to Jerusalem, back home. And he ministered to, especially to, those back in Jerusalem, even though he was in captivity. Now you say, how could that be? Well, just hold steady. We're going to find out how that could be. Because it's a very strange ministry that Ezekiel had. God began to show him that the awful things were going on back home in Jerusalem. It would seem since the heathen king had come and taken into captivity many of the people, that those that were left back in Jerusalem would seek the Lord. It would seem as though they should understand that captivity came because they had turned from the true and living God to idols. But somehow that was not the case. And God wanted someone to deal with those people back in Jerusalem and to know what was going on there, and to stand in the gap, because there were terrible things that was happening back in Jerusalem. So God began to show him these things, and he took him in the Spirit, and he revealed to him that back in Jerusalem, right in the temple of God, there were horrible things happening. There was an image and an idol that was put up in the place of the brazen altar. And it was called the image of jealousy. Because you see, God is a jealous God. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. God is a jealous God. Hallelujah. And so they put up this idol in the place of the brazen altar in the outer court. And then God in the Spirit showed Ezekiel a hole in the wall, told him to dig. And he dug into the wall. And as he dug into the wall, he discovered a door. And the Lord told him to open the door, and he opened the door, and it led right into the temple. And there in the temple, on the sacred grounds of the temple, he saw men led by Shaphan, the son of Jazaniah, swinging their censers of incense to strange gods, to monstrosities that were painted on the walls, hideous monstrosities of heathen gods and crawling, creeping, terrible-looking monsters that were painted there. And they were worshiping those things. And they said, we are in the dark. Nobody knows what we're doing. And God doesn't see us, but He did. Because God knows what's going on. And the Bible says every man in the chambers of his imagery was worshiping these heathen gods. You know, it's strange, folks, but we all have chambers of imagery. We can go into our little chamber of imagery and we can kill people in there. And we can do all kinds of things in our chamber of imagery and nobody knows it. And we say nobody knows it, so we can do it and it's all right. But you better know that there's one that sees it all. He knows everything that's going on. And you can't hide from Him. Your chamber of imagery will not hide you. And you might sneak in there and your wife not know you're in there. And your husband may not know you're there. And you may do things in that chamber of imagery and think that God doesn't see it and God doesn't know it. And all the time He's seeing what's going on in that chamber of imagery. You better know it.
Hallelujah.
And so they were worshiping these gods in the chambers of their imagery, the Bible says. You'll find this in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel. And then He said, I'll show you greater abominations than these. And He went and it took Him to the door of the temple. And there were women weeping for Tammuz. Now, Tammuz was the son of Nimrod and Semiramis. At least Semiramis said that he was the son of Nimrod. Nimrod was the founder of the original false religion. Let me tell you about him. Nimrod founded the first false religion on the face of this earth. And he was killed by a wild boar, and his wife, who was also his mother, because he married his mother, was named Semiramis. And she, by whoredom, became with child, and to cover her sin, she said that Nimrod had become a god, and he had come down from heaven, and this child that she was bearing was a son of God. The son of Nimrod. So when the baby was born, she named it Tammuz. And statues were erected all over the land of Babylon, of Semiramis, with a baby Tammuz in her arms, the first Madonna and child. And worship was transferred from the son of God, supposedly, which was Tammuz, to the mother. And so we have the first Trinity, Nimrod, the father, Semiramis, the mother, Tammuz, the son. The second person of the Trinity was Tammuz. So we have the first and the original Trinity, which has infiltrated over the centuries, if you follow it, until in 325 A.D., it came into the Christian church at the Council of Nicaea. And we still have people worshiping Tammuz, only under a different name. Because Trinity doctrine is heathen doctrine. It is not Christian doctrine. So way back here, we see that that doctrine came into God's people, and they were worshiping Tammuz. God said it was an abomination. He said, I'll show you yet greater abominations. And He took him a little further to the inner court between the porch and the altar. There were 25 men of the elders of Israel who turned their backs to the temple of God and were worshiping the sun, the ancient sun worship. everywhere Ezekiel saw corruption and idolatry and abomination, and the whole temple was polluted, and Jerusalem was following false and heathen gods. And this sets the stage for our message, because Ezekiel's day was a day of abomination that called for God's judgment, just as our day does today. And the question is, who cares? Who cares what's going on? Who cares that babies are being killed? Who cares that America has gone after other gods? Who cares about the abominations that are taking place in churches across our land today in the name of Christianity? Who cares whether false doctrine or truth is preached from our pulpits? Who cares? Somebody ought to care. God's looking for somebody who cares. God said, I want to know if anybody is concerned enough to care. Yes, sir. I want somebody to sigh and cry for what's going on, to be concerned about it enough to get stirred up about it. So, that leads us to where we are in our text. So God said, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Now, Satan claimed the city, said, I've got it, it's mine, I've got it sewn up, it belongs to me. Satan claimed the city, he's the god of this world. He says, it's mine. So he trotted out six men. Six is Satan's number. The Antichrist will have 666. So six is Satan's number. Always comes short of the glory of God. Seven is God's number. All right. So here comes six men with destroying weapons in their hands. Six men with destroying weapons in their hands. Now they say, we have got the city. It's ours. And we're going to destroy every man, woman, and child in the city. Now God described the situation like this, and I want Brother Wilson to read for me the 22nd chapter of Ezekiel. Listen to this. This is what God found in Jerusalem. Let's listen to it. 22nd chapter of Ezekiel, beginning at verse 23.
And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying,
yes,
Son of man, say unto her, thou art the land that is not cleansed.
Thou art the land not cleansed.
Nor rained upon in the day of indignation.
In the day of indignation.
There is a conspiracy of her prophets.
Conspiracy of her prophets.
In the midst thereof.
In the midst thereof. Now listen to this.
Like a roaring lion. Ravening the prey.
Now, identify this, if you will, with what we're seeing in our day. That's right. A roaring lion ravening the prey. That's how the devil works. Amen. He's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. So the Lord describes this as his own city, his own people. And this was happening there. Read on.
They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof.
Yes, killed a man, made widows. All right, read on.
Her priests have violated my law.
The priests who should be leading the people to worship God were violating the law.
And have profaned mine holy things.
Profaned my holy things. Read on.
They have put no difference between the holy and the profane.
No difference between the holy and the unholy and the profane. In other words, there was no clear line of demarcation between right and wrong, between God's side and man's side, between the world and the church. Yeah. There was no mark, no line.
Right. Oh, God, help us. Yeah.
We better have a line, folks.
Yeah, come on.
There better be a line. And God said one reason why these judgments are coming is because the people of God, the leaders of the church of God, made no difference between the holy and the unholy. Read on.
Neither have they showed difference between the clean and the unclean.
Neither did they show difference between the clean and the unclean.
And have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths.
And turned away their eyes from what?
My Sabbaths.
My Sabbaths. Read on.
And I am profaned among them.
I am profaned among them.
Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves.
Wolves.
Ravening the prey.
Ravening the prey.
To shed blood.
To shed blood.
And to destroy souls.
And to destroy souls.
To get dishonest gain.
To get dishonest gain.
And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar.
Her prophets, the men that should be leading the people to God, are leading the people away from God with untempered mortar.
Seeing vanity.
Seeking vanity.
And divining lies unto them.
Divining lies.
Saying, thus saith the Lord God.
Thus saith the Lord God.
When the Lord hath not spoken.
When the Lord has not spoken.
The people of the land have used oppression.
Now, you say, Brother Gray, you're taking a lot of time here to talk about something, some negative stuff. I am. Let me tell you folks that we better know that it's time for us to face facts and face reality the way they really are. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it in. And I'm going to just say this, and I hope you'll forgive me if you get offended. But it used to be that we would say the false prophets and false teachings are in the land today, but they're outside of us. It's not always true, my friend, that they're outside. What is happening today is what Paul said would happen. That even from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things and drawing away disciples after themselves. The Word of God is being fulfilled before our very eyes, and sometimes we're blind to it. This happened in Ezekiel's day. Let's go back to Ezekiel. All right, go on.
The people of the land have used oppression.
They've used oppression.
And exercised robbery.
Exercised robbery.
Vexed the poor and needy.
Vexed the poor and needy.
Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully.
All right, read on.
And I sought for a man among them.
Now wait a minute. Now the Lord said, I looked for something. What was he looking for?
I sought for a man.
I sought for what?
A man.
A man.
Among them.
The Lord said, I'm looking for a man. I'm trying to find a man. Is there a man anywhere that I can find? What for? To read on.
That should make up the heads.
That should make up the heads. That should get into this place where the abomination and where the trouble is and where the truth of God is dragged in the mire.
Yeah.
Is there a man somewhere that I can find?
Yeah.
I need a man. Now, God's all right, folks. Let me just stop here a moment. God's all right. There's nothing wrong with God. His power is the same today. Isn't that right? There's nothing wrong with God. But he still has to have men. He still works through human instruments. He's still looking for men. Real men. I don't mean panty waist. I mean men. God said, I'm looking for a man. A man. Sometimes a fella gets to be 18 or 21, he says, because I wear pants, I'm a man. 21 years don't make a man out of you. You better have some backbone to you. You better have something more than just 21 years. You can be a sissy or a big fat baby at 21 years of age, or any age. That doesn't make you a man. God said, I'm looking for a man. I want a man. I don't need a sissy. I want a man. A real man. I sought for a man. I hunted for a man. I tried to find a man. I looked all over Jerusalem to find a man. Is there one man anywhere that I can find? Let's read it. I sought for a man.
I sought for a man among them that
among
should
them.
Make up the hedge.
That should make up the hedge.
And stand in the gap before me
stand
for the land.
Stand in the gap before me for the land.
That I should not destroy
that
it.
That I should not destroy it.
But I found none.
Did he say that?
What he said.
He searched over the land and tried to find somebody that would step into the situation. And he said, I couldn't find anybody. All over Jerusalem he hunted. All over the land he hunted. He could not find one man. Now, folks, you know, we sometimes get the idea that God's just going to use anybody. And he can, but you're going to have to pay the price to be a vessel of honor. Anybody can be a vessel, but not everybody is a vessel of honor. There are some vessels that are used for garbage. The pastor knows, generally, who to go to when he wants to get the dirt on somebody. Because there's generally somebody that collects all the dirt. They are garbage cans. They are garbage cans. And you say, Lord, use me. God said, I don't need a garbage can. I want a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. I sought for a man. I hunted for him, and I found none. Now, we're going to stop right there a moment. Because you see, God searched the land and found nobody. But the Bible says this. In Acts 14 and verse 17, he will not leave himself without a witness. Somewhere God has a man. It may not be in Jerusalem. It may not be in the land. But somewhere God has a man. He will not leave himself without a witness. So he looked over into the land of captivity and he saw Ezekiel over there by the river Kebar.
Right.
I told you I was going to tell you why Ezekiel, a captive, ministered to the people down in Jerusalem. It's because God couldn't find anybody in Jerusalem. So he looked over to the river Kebar. And the Bible says in the 8th chapter of Ezekiel that Ezekiel was in his own house. He wasn't in church. He was in his own house. Do you know God can meet with you in your own house? And that's where God met with Ezekiel, in his own house by the river Kebar in captivity, 500 miles away from Jerusalem. Now, there's some things we don't know about Ezekiel. He's a very unique character. But there's one thing we do know. Now, we know one thing about Elisha, too. We know that he was bald-headed. We know that about Elisha. If I were to point to all these preachers here on the platform and say, can you give me one thing that everybody, all these preachers have in common so that any time you see that, you know he's a preacher? What would it be? You look them over. Is there any one thing they all have that says, I'm a preacher? So that anytime you see that, you know, that man's a preacher. And you'll have to say, no. There isn't anything about any these men that identify them as a preacher. That is the same thing everybody's got. We all look different. We got them all shapes and sizes, folks. We got them old and young. We got them curly-headed. We got them fat and thin. Tall, short. Isn't that right? That's right. Preacher says I'm right. Hallelujah. So, Elisha was bald-headed. The one thing we know about Ezekiel was that he was not bald-headed. Now, how do we know that about Ezekiel, that he was not bald-headed? Because sitting in his room, the Holy Ghost came into that room. And the Bible says the Spirit of God lifted him up by the hair of the head. You can read it. 8th chapter of Ezekiel. Lifted him up by the hair of the head. And carried him. Carried him. Over obstacles. Mountains. Deserts. Rivers. Carried him back to Jerusalem. Say, is that true? Read it. 8th chapter of Ezekiel. God says, I found my man. I found my man. I found my man. The word charge, when the Lord said in our text, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. The word charge is the Hebrew word pekuda. And it is also translated overseer, or to have oversight of. It means to have charge or custody, to have oversight, to care for, to watch over, and to guard. The lexicon to the Old Testament by Zodiades says this, the basic meaning is intervention by a superior power in order to bring about a great change. God says, I am going to intervene in that situation there in Jerusalem. I've got a man that is going to be, I'm going to put in charge. And he is going to introduce a great change by a superior power, the power of the Holy Ghost. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Now, 50 years ago, the devil thought he had Modesto sewn up in his hip pocket, you know. He thought he had it. Others had tried to open churches here. In my own knowledge, there had been three that tried to open churches in Modesto, and they had all, none of them succeeded. And so the devil said, I've got you licked. And I've got you where I want you. And so he thought he had this city. He thought he had it. Now, he had six demons in charge of this city. 1941. I'm going to just do this. I want you five men right there on that front row to come right up here. Would you do that? And you too, would you join, please? Yes, right. Here's six men right now. Six men, come right on up here. Now, here's the six men. The devil says they're mine. You notice in our text, stand over here. Stand over here. You notice that in our text, the Lord says, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. And the devil always thinks he's got charge. So he drags up his men that says, these fellas are in charge. These six fellas are in charge of the city. Now that's the way it was in Modesto 50 years ago. The devil thought he had it. And we might call this man Monday, and this man Tuesday, and this man Wednesday, and this man Thursday, and this man Friday, and this man no school. All right. There they stand. The devil says, I got you. I got this city. I've got it sewn up tight. There's no way that God can get in here. And every man has a destroying weapon in his hand. Every man has a destroying... And the devil comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what the Bible says. That's what Satan does. God doesn't come for that purpose. He said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But Satan tries to destroy. So he pulls out his men that he says is in charge. And he claims that these fellows are the ones that are in charge of the city. And we'll call old Monday over here. His destroying weapon is apathy. Nobody cares. Apathy, that's your destroying weapon. If you can get people to not care and not be concerned and not just not do anything about it. Apathy, that's what you've got. That's your destroying weapon. Tuesday over there has cares of life. You see, when folks get all tied up with the things of this world, they don't have time for God. So you've got cares of life. And you're going to destroy everybody with that cares of life. And old Wednesday over there has traditions of men. You've got all the doctrines of the denominational churches, you know, and all those things that don't have any power in it. And there you are, spending your time, spinning your wheels, trying to get people involved in things that don't count. Traditions of men. All right? And then over here, there's false doctrines. Old Thursday over here is false doctrine. His destroying weapon is false doctrine. All kinds of false doctrines. Amen. And then there's Friday over there. Did I say Thursday? Friday over here is worldliness. And worldliness always has been around trying to get people and destroy them. The Bible says if you love the world, you're not a friend to God. Amen. The Bible says that. He that will be a friend of the world, let him be an enemy of God. So he's trying to get everybody to love the world. Now, I know these folks got the Holy Ghost, but they're trying awful hard to be devils. They have a hard job. But try real hard to be devils for a little while here. And here we got no school. And he's interested in pleasure. Cares of life. That's it. That's what you are. Cares of life. You're all involved in cares. Working so hard, you see, and making money. Don't have time for God. Yeah. All right, that's your destroying weapon. What are you? Cares of life, what are you? Traditions of man. This man is traditions. Traditions of man, the denominations, and all those doctrines that are in the denominational world. We got them straightened out now. All right. Hallelujah. 50 years ago, this is what Modesto had. All this junk, all this trash, all this foolishness was taken over the city. God says, I'm looking for a man. Amen. Now get over there. Stand right along here. Get over there. I've got to have room to operate in here. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everybody said, praise the Lord. Amen. All right. There they stand. They said, we got the city sewn up. We're in charge around here. The devil says, we've got this city, we've got it sewed tight. You can't get in, God. These fellas are in charge here. But the Lord said, you just got another thing a-coming. I have a man I reserved for this city. You think you're in charge? I'm going to put him in charge. You see, if you read the text, you'll find out that there were six men that came the way of the north gate and they had destroying weapons in their hands. But there was one. It doesn't take a dozen, you know, to whip these six. Just one. There was one man that came that did not have a destroying weapon in his hand. He was the seventh man. He was God's man. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, you think the devil has dragged out those that he thinks that are in charge of the city, but I've got a man in charge. And Satan, have you considered my servant Julius Rhodey? Have you considered my servant Julius Rhodey? Oh, the devil says, I know him. He's just a little grocery man up there in Lodi. I could take care of him. The Lord says, I'm putting him in charge of Modesto. I'm putting him in charge of Modesto. Here comes Julius Rohde. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. 7 o'clock prayer meeting.
I'm going to buy me some buses.
Amen. All right.
We're going to have revival in this town.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We're going to rebuke the devil out of here.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I feel revival around here.
All right. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to start knocking some doors.
Did the Lord call you to Modesto?
He sure did.
All right. I want you to stand here, and I want you to tell... Wait, you just hold fast a minute. I got to kind of prepare the way here. Because these fellas think they have it all sewed up. But here's one man. One man clothed in linen, which is the Holy Ghost. Pure and white. Hallelujah. Power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he comes, he doesn't even have a weapon. Not like a destroying weapon. He has a weapon, all right. It's the Word of God. The writer's ink horn has been written. And what is written is written. Hallelujah. It's written in the Word of God. It'll stand forever. Praise the Lord. So there he is. Brother Rohde, stay right there a moment. Hallelujah. So God says, I've got a man. Amen. And so 50 years ago, God called this man from the grocery store in Lodi to come down to Modesto and face these demons, these devils, and everything they represented. Hallelujah. And he had to battle them by the power of the Holy Ghost. Julius Rohde dug out a church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He dug out a church. If you think that's easy, and if you think it's just child's play, you don't know what you're talking about. It's the hardest job on the face of this earth. It's the biggest job anybody ever had. And you can just lay it down to this, that when God has his man, that man God will use. He will be humble at his feet. He will manifest the Spirit of Christ. He will have a beautiful spirit. But he will be in charge. Now, I don't mean that in a bad way. I don't mean that in a domineering way. I mean that with humility, knowing the place God has placed him, speaking with the authority that God has put upon him. He has a right to speak with divine authority when he preaches the Word of God. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom that no man shall be able to gainsay nor resist. Hallelujah. That's what God does to his men. He gives them authority and he gives them the right to preach the Word of God. And when they preach it, they're bold as a lion. Let me tell you something about Julius Rohde. He was not a very flamboyant man. He was not what you'd call a great theologian or a great preacher. And I'm not saying that in a derogatory way at all. I'm telling you facts. But he was more than the ordinary pastor. He loved his people. He gave his life for this church. He gave his life. He was sold out. It was full time with him. Early in the morning, time of prayer. Every morning, the same time. You could set your watch by it. There he was in church. Hallelujah. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of honor. He was like the rock of Gibraltar. You knew where he was. He wasn't mealy-mouthed. He didn't say one thing and mean something else. When he preached, he said right from his heart what he knew God had talked to him about. He was a man of intense faithfulness and devotion. You talk about faithfulness. I don't believe I've ever known a man that was as devoted and faithful as he was. I would say he is an example. Brother Rohde, you were an example to every minister. I believe this with all of my heart. this man that did not have maybe as much natural ability as some of our young preachers do, but he had something that was more important than ability. He had the love of God and the power of God in his life, and a devotion to a cause that would not quit. He faced difficulties. These fellows went after him with everything they had. But J.E. Rohde did not back up. He wasn't made to back up. He had a bulldog grip on things, and he would not let go. He would not let go. Things happened. Difficulties came. They'll come in everybody's life. If you think this is a bed of roses, you don't know. You don't understand what's going on. Times get rough, my friend. There are times that your best friend will turn against you. You can be the best preacher on earth, and you'll have your best friend turning against you sometimes. You better know God if you get into the ministry. This isn't something to desire. No man takes this honor unto himself, the Bible says. You better be called of God. Hallelujah. J.E. Rohde was that kind of a man. Every morning without fail, he was at prayer. All day long, he gave himself to the ministry. He was a man of impeccable character. He was an example to young men. And their lives and their ministries show that they have followed the pattern of J.E. Rohde. This church did not grow like a mushroom. It grew like a tree. You know, some churches, they get a flamboyant character in there like a comet. They flash, a great big flash, a spectacular, charismatic, great big things going, whoop and boom and everything going. But it goes up in a hurry and goes down in a hurry. And it doesn't last. But there's something about this church that when it grew solid and strong. It took after its founder. It took after its founder. This man put something into this church. Its roots went down deep. It was not built on just a froth and foam. It was built on the solid rock. Hallelujah. Oh, God give us some men like Rohde. God give us men of that caliber, that nature. We don't need playboys in the pulpit. Hallelujah. That's right. We don't need folks that are looking for gimmicks and some spectacular something to kind of catch the people's eye. We need people that know how to live and how to walk with God and know a life of devotion and surrender to the cause of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, give us real men in our pulpits today. Real men. Hallelujah. And J.E. Rohde was that kind of a man. He shook the gates of hell here in Modesto. He had many children born into the kingdom of God. Many children. And he trained them and he sent them out. He was the man in charge. He didn't strut around, "I'm in charge around here." He didn't have that spirit. Nevertheless, he was in charge. And you knew he was in charge. God put his hand upon him and said, "He's in charge here. I brought him here, and I'm behind him." Hallelujah. And these fellows could not stop him. Later, he turned the charge over to Brother Dansby, who several years ago turned it over to Brother Keyes, who is the present pastor. Today, as always, the devil has his demons who claim Modesto, still yet, as Goliath claimed Israel. Goliath said, "Israel is mine. I defy you to stop me." Amen. But God had a man that could tackle Goliath. Let's see what the devil is doing today. And I want you fellas to stay here a little bit. And would you kind of... Brother Rohde here, I want you to stand right here. Okay. Amen. All right. Now, I want six more
fellows to come. How about that row right there, about four of you? Would you come, please? I'm talking about today now. You don't mind me talking about today for a minute, do you? You four come. Two more. Would you come? Good for you. Would you come? Thank you. All right. Now, you're going to have to try your best. Try hard to be devils. Because, you see, we're faced with things in our day today that... Right over here. Thank you. Right over here. Come in. And just like this other bunch over there, the other gang, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and no school. All right. There we got them. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, here we have in our day. What do we got in our day? Monday, you've got destroying weapons. So is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. All of you got destroying weapons. What are our kids facing today at school? You think about it. It's more than different than apathy, false doctrine, worldliness, and those things. What is it today? Today we have humanism and evolution. Destroying weapon. The unofficial religion of America is humanism. It's taught in every school. It's promoted from every forum that America can promote. Humanism is the predominant religion of America today. Humanism and evolution. And it's destroying our children. Tuesday, your destroying weapon is New Age. New Age with the occult. That's right. Devil worship. Crystals. Dragons. Wednesday, your destroying weapon is narcotics. In every school in our country, there's narcotics. Cigarettes. Liquor. Those things. You stand for that. That's your destroying weapon. This is what our kids are facing, folks. All right. Thursday, sexual permissiveness. Pornography. Homosexuality, an alternate and an acceptable lifestyle. Come on now, you might know that this is being promoted in our schools today. You better know it. Some of you are blind to what's going on and your children are being taught in school. You better wake up. Sexual permissiveness, together with premarital sex and abortion. A blot and a stain upon America. And Friday, you've got materialism. Easy money. The desire for things. And the love of those things. And any way to get the money. Crime, steal, anything. There you go. And no school. You've got the RVs. And the pleasure. And you got the boats. And you got all those things, you see, that people like to do to give them an excuse to not face up to realities of living at church and go their own way and pleasure. And there we have it. And folks, today, let me tell you something. These fellas are still there. And these fellas are here today. And we've got both of them. Who is sufficient for these things? Who's going to tackle these devils? Has God given up His business today? Are we going to bow the knee and say, well, there's no way we can handle this? It's too big for us. Listen, if you don't believe and if you don't understand what's going on, let me give you something that Brother Wayne Bateman wrote. He said, what shall we say of this generation, USA? And this is what he said. You listen to me, I'm going to go fast. The world is in perplexity. Nations are angry. The spirit of war is all over all. Delinquency everywhere. Spiritual decadence. Drinking is heavier. Smoke is thicker. Mockers are bolder. Hearts are harder. Faith is weaker. Love is colder. Houses are plentier. Homes are fewer. World is darker. Travel is faster. Work is slower. Compassion is thinner. Religion is shallower. Unbelief is broader. Necklines are lower. Hemlines are higher. Violence is wider. Church attendance is lighter. Laughter is cheaper. Jokes are dirtier. Music is louder. Hell holes are filthier. outright adultery, incest, sex abuse, battered wives, open fornication, divorces, cheating, stealing, long-haired men, short-haired women, skin-tight trousers for women, compulsive gambling, pleasure mania, motion picture swill, dropouts, kickouts, fallouts, passouts, throwaway babies, TV garbage, mass murders, riots, arsons, rapes, bold terrorism, bombings, kidnappings, lootings, wife swappings, immorality, moral decay, alcoholics, strikes, traitors, spies, homosexuals, AIDS, bloody massacres, LSD, cocaine, pot, crack, filth galore, crime amok, violence everywhere, graft and corruption, broken homes, broken hearts, abortions, corruption. We're crazed with business, shocked with vice, paralyzed with crime, blinded by sin, deceived with error, drunk with pleasures, mad with passions, saturated with the cares of this world, delirious with sports, asleep with unbelief, dazed with apathy, stunned with indifference, obsessed with sex, insane with violence. Is it true or is it not true? We have a sick society and not a great society. The world is not round, not square, not flat, but is crooked. 20 billion spent to help men control himself in space, but he can't control himself on earth. We have go-go girls, shake girls, strippers, brassierless car wash girls, topless waitresses and topless politicians. We have false prophets who preach hatred and violence. We're blowing our horn at our own taillight. Bible and prayer is out. Evolution and sex is in. Vast education, but little horse sense. White power, black power, little Holy Ghost power. Age of bugs, bugged home, bugged offices and other bugs, including the Beatles. Agitators, dictators, demonstrators, confusion filled but not spirit filled. False hair, false eyelashes, false prophets. Imitation sugar, imitation salvation. Meals opened with a can opener instead of prayer. Detroit manufactures autos. Milwaukee manufactures beer. Hollywood manufactures filth. Everyone wears a watch for time, but few can see the signs of the times and the coming of the Lord. Earthquakes, volcanoes, plane crashes, upside-down weather. Our cities are burning. Hate is churning. Crime is soaring. Violence is roaring. Lives are abused. Minds are confused. Nations are rumbling. Morals are crumbling. Physically prosperous, worldly famous, and spiritually bankrupt. That is our generation. What is God's answer to that? God's answer is a man. I sought for a man. I'm looking for a man. If I can find a man, God says, that's totally surrendered to me. We're not going to let the devil have this world. We're not going to let the devil have it. We're not going to let the devil have Modesto. We're not going to let the devil have our cities. We're not going to let the devil have them. We're not going to give in by default. Amen. We're going to save our children. We're going to save our people. We're going to save everybody we can reach. We're going to reach after them. We're going to snatch them as burns from the coals. We're going to pull them out of hell. Hallelujah. Reach down into the realms of the lost and pull them out by the help of God. Hallelujah. Real men will stand in the gap. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. We can't live today on the victories of Brother Rohde. Thank you. Be seated. We can't live on the victories of this great man. He lived in his generation and in his day. He did a great work in his day. We can't live on those memories. We can thank God for them. We rejoice that God used him and other men like him to pluck brands from the burning. Some of you are here tonight You bless the memories of a man that maybe at the risk of his own life and misunderstanding reached out after you. He went beyond the call of duty to find you, to stay with you until you got your feet on the rock. It isn't just mass evangelism, folks. We like to think of a great revival where 100 or 200 comes in. But it's a man who will love you, who will reach after you and stay with you day and night until you find your place in God and won't let go and won't let the devil have you. Hallelujah. I sought for a man. Thank God for Brother Rohde. There came a time when Brother Rohde laid down his burden. His time was over. And the call of God was put in the hands of Brother Dansby. And he was the man in charge. God said, I've got a man. Brother Dansby, he's in charge of the city of Modesto. And there came a time when Brother Dansby relinquished it, and it was put in the hands of Brother Keyes. And Brother Keyes is the man. He's in charge. God put him in charge. He's God's man. He's doing the job for God. It's not his own power, not his own strength, but the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Fellas, I'm sorry. You're not going to win. I'm sorry, you're not going to win. You see, our text says that this man, come here, Brother Rohde. This man has got to put a mark on people. He's equipped to put a mark on people. God has given him the ability and the wherewithal to know how to reach out and put a mark on men that the devil cannot reach them in such a way that they are forever delivered from the power of the devil and anything these fellows can do. Hallelujah. You read the context, you'll find out that this man was to mark everybody he could reach and put a mark on them. And then the destroying weapons came. And everybody with the mark could not be touched. But if they didn't have the mark on them, the devil could get to them and destroy them. It's like the blood over the doorposts and lintels. The power of the Holy Ghost can do a work in your life. You can be marked for time and eternity until the devil can't get to you. Until you're delivered and set free by the power of God. Hallelujah. But God uses men to preach the word. Hallelujah. To deliver you from the devil's power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know this dirty dozen would like to take over. They're not going to take over. God has a man in the city of Modesto tonight that's in charge. God said he's in charge. Hallelujah. These fellas say, we're in charge. But God says he's in charge. Now I'm going to ask you this as I close. You fellas can go down and I thank you very much for your kindness. But I'm going to ask you this. Which side are you on? You see, you can't straddle a fence. There's just no way you can straddle a fence. The most miserable person in the world is the one who's trying to straddle a fence. He's not all the way in and he's not all the way out. You can't be more miserable. You better get in, folks. The time is short. Amen. The coming of the Lord is at hand. If ever you made a plan to get into the church, you better get in now. You've got a man that'll take care of you. You've got a man that'll watch over you. A man that God says is in charge. I'd rather be at his side. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy all the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ to be greater riches than all the treasures in Egypt, because he had respect under the recompense of the reward. He saw how this thing was coming out at the end. Hallelujah. Brother, I'm on the winning side. Hallelujah. I'm on the winning side. This side is the winning side. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know whom I have believed. Let's stand and praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's praise Him. Everybody praise Him. If you belong to Jesus, you've got a right to praise Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's everybody clap our hands and praise Him. Let's let the Holy Ghost move in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.